Two. This morning I want to talk about how to make the most out of church. How to make the most out of church. Acts chapter 2. As you're turning there, I'm going to read another verse, and I'll give you the reference, but I'm only going to read one verse there, so you don't need to turn there. It's 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 3:15 says this, "But if I tarry long, if thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." That's a big verse right there. It says, Paul writing to Timothy, says, "Timothy, if I can't get to you, I want you to know how to behave yourself in the church." And he says, the church is the house of God. And then it's also the pillar and ground of truth. Boy, you can't read that verse and not believe that the church is important. It's God's house, and it's the pillar and ground of truth. And he says, I want you to know how to behave yourself in your church and how the church ought to be organized. And that's the book of 1 Timothy is about. Now, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter had just preached a big sermon of gospel salvation at Pentecost. Taught them about being saved and about Jesus Christ. In verse 38, he says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And it's not the sermon at all, it has nothing to do with it. But I want to say, immediately at salvation, he's preaching separation from the world. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, crooked and wicked generation. And I just want to say, part of Bible preaching is separating from the world and becoming different. And he says, save yourself from this generation. And by the way, if you don't know this is a generation that you should save yourself from, you're not looking very hard. And because it definitely is. Verse 41. "And they gladly received his word, are baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to every man as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved." Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about how to make the most out of church. Father, thank you for the word. Lord, you give us a lot of instructions in the Bible. It's in Matthew, it's in 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, 1 Corinthians, Acts. Lord, you give us a lot of instructions about how a church should be. Revelation, there's a lot of books in the Bible that deal with it, Father. And I pray today we as church people would understand your way and your thoughts and your ideas, Lord, and your way of doing church. Because, Lord, this is your church. It's not ours. It's not anything of man, Father. It's yours. And you said, I will build my church, and it's your church, Father. And we give it to you. You build it. It's your work. It's your ministry. It's your body. And we give it to you. What's preached here is your business. We pray that you would speak what you want spoken and the way you want it spoken. We'd like to have this power from Pentecost to come down today, Lord, and speak. And we pray the Holy Spirit would move and touch our minds and hearts and give us attention and good biblical thinking. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a pattern here in the book of Acts chapter 2. It's a Bible pattern. It's going to be consistent throughout other spots in the book of Acts. And we'll see this pattern right here. First of all, pattern is souls are saved and baptized. Verse 41. "Then they gladly received his word are baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So first of all, souls are saved and baptized. And I want to say that is the foundation of a church. Souls saved, people baptized, and getting established. It starts with salvation. We started this church not off a denominational role, not off transfers from other churches. We started this church off of winning souls to Jesus Christ and telling them how to be saved and telling them how they can get eternal life and teaching them the Bible. And that's the first pattern. Is a church starts off with winning souls. That's why God started it. Secondly, we see faithfulness to church. Verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did either meet with gladness and singleness of heart. Daily, they continued steadfastly. This is a biblical pattern, and we're not going to read all the things in the book of Acts on it, but I want to say the biblical pattern for church, actually, they went to church every day. Now, I'm going to let you off the hook. You only have to come back tonight and Thursday night. Amen? That was a lot of amens. That's more amens than we have on Sunday night, people. I love it. I want to be a Bible Christian. Okay, go to church every day. Well, I'm too busy for that. Okay. It's a Bible pattern, though. The Bible pattern is every day going to church. I'm excited today. I know several of you, like me, are big football fans. And you come to church because church is more important. Amen? Amen. And then people who don't like football, amen that. And then they skip for basketball season. But we see that's the Bible pattern, faithfulness to church. My life was saved so much because I don't know why, but some reason, God just started going to church all the time. I went to church when I first got saved, being a messed up kid. I went to church Tuesday night. That was our midweek. Thursday night was our soul winning. Friday night was our teen soul winning. Saturday morning, I went to bus meeting to prepare for the bus route. Sunday morning, Sunday night. I went to church all those times, every single week, and I never missed any of it. I loved it. And it was a family of God, and it was just great to be at church and be a part of it. And I like doing anything to do with church. I mean, if something he cleaned up, I wanted to do it. If something he'd hauled around, I wanted to do it. If we needed to clean up the parking lot, I wanted to do it. If we were going to preach in the nursing home, I wanted to do it. It was just, man, it's the church. It's man, it's awesome. I got to go to church. I get to go to church and be a part of that. it is tremendous. And it'd be a sad thing if a lodge member or some part of some fan club or some part of some group would be more faithful than God's people would be to God's house. You see that faithfulness to church. Next, you see the Lord working in lives, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And so the Lord is working in lives and doing great things, and many people were being transformed. Next, everyone's needs were met, verse 44, and they that were believed to, were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. So, people were financially helped. And one of the things that's been great, and one of the things that has been, I hope, a good lesson for you, is right now churches across America aren't able to do anything for anybody. They can't do anything for missionaries. They can't feed people. They can't pay people's rent, pay people's bills, utilities, waters. We've been able to do that for all the 4 years of this recession for a couple of reasons. First of all, because we were ahead when it started. I saw it was coming. We don't live hand to mouth. I don't think that's wise to do if you can avoid it. And the church didn't have to do that. And two, we didn't spend all the money we got. And we kept our budget low, and so when the bad times came, many people in this room were able to pay your rent, were able to pay your water, pay your utilities, and we drained ourselves. But you know what? We were able to do that because a church's job is helping people financially. It's feeding people. We've been able to help orphans in Haiti and orphans in Uganda. And we've been able to go and start churches and do many things and take on missionaries. We took on a missionary a month ago, monthly support. Why? Because a church needs to be able to give. When a church becomes self-centered, what it does, it spends all its money on its own program, its own building, its own everything, and pretty soon there's no money left for anybody else and for helping people. And a church is supposed to help people. Now, a lot of our money we help people with, a good amount of it goes, one, to church people at Open Door. You get the priority. I think it's biblical. I think you start with your own family and the church family. And so we before we help anybody out there, we always make sure everybody in our church is taken care of. And then secondly, we spend a lot of money overseas because it's better invested, to be honest with you. Number one, there's food stamps in America. 45 million Americans are on food stamps right now. You get a lot of money on food stamps. I've had people look at me crookedly at that. Listen, I am dealing with people who are poor finances all the time. And people, a family of five, I have a family of, many I have? 8 at my home right now. I would get way more money. People who get have family of 5 get more money for food stamps than I get for paying it with myself. You get a lot of money for food stamps. It's just people buy Cheetos and pizza and everything else, and it goes pretty quick. But you get a lot of money for food stamps. There's people who get fed that way. There's Section 8. There's a lot of assistance from the government in America. But overseas, literally, they have an orphanage, and they have 200 kids, and they have no food for them. I don't mean all they got is, you know, generic brands. I mean, they have no food, period. And so we can feed them for nothing there. And it's in the money. So we do a lot of that. And a church is supposed to meet the needs of people. And by the way, if you've participated in that, you've had a part of that. And that's great. And it's great to be a part of that. And last of all, we see, first of all, souls saved and baptized, faithfulness to church, the Lord working in lives, everyone's needs are met, and blessing on all the people. Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. So they're just being blessed, and God's grace and blessing is upon them all. Turn forward to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to show you, I'm going to read another passage, very similar. It's going to, and I'm not even going to go through all the things of what we just saw, but you're going to see the same things because it's a pattern of the church. Verse 32, and the multitude then that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the land that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution is made to every man according as he had need. And Joseph, and goes on to the people there. So, see, if you're paying attention as you read that, you saw the same pattern. Same things were happening in this church. Great grace is upon them all. The whole church corporately got blessed because individually they're part of a church. And they were all taken care of and provided for. It's God's pattern, and we see that. New ideas come out all the time. There is, somebody told me just this week about a new idea, and somebody had this big article that's gone viral about somebody loves Jesus but hates religion, and doesn't like the organization of religion. And it's a problem. That's unbiblical. The church is under attack. Going to church is not hip anymore. Oh, you know what? I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I just worship God at home. All this stuff. It all sounds so good in your ear. It sounds good to your ear. That sounds good. I understand. Except for it's totally unbiblical. It's not biblical. Matter of fact, it's unbiblical. And that's not what God had designed for us. And although it sounds spiritual, and not going to church and putting other things above church, though man has instituted that and says that nowadays, it's really a way to not have any accountability and to do what you want to do. But it's not God's way. And as a matter of fact, the Lord is really smart about it. He made it really clear in the Bible that's not his way. And having been a person, I personally, since I've been in this area, I personally knocked on over 50,000 doors. Okay? I talked to a lot of people about their spiritual condition. I talk to those people who don't need church all the time. Their lives are not victorious, godly Christian lives. And their kids do not turn out for the Lord. Just see it all the time. I see it regularly. I talk to him all the time. And by the way, when I got saved and started serving the Lord, I wanted to have a good family. I started looking for Christian families that I could emulate. And I found 10 of them, I've told you. I found 10 of those families, all 10 of those families who turned out tremendous elite Christian kids. All of them, 100% of them, their kids were buried in their local church. Because it's important, it's God's pattern, it's God's ways. There's books on the time, there's things, new ideas and stuff, but God still has a local church, and us being transformed by being part of a local church and participating in it, and God uses it. There's 4 books in the Bible written specifically to tell you how a local church is supposed to be. If somebody says, I love Jesus, I just don't like religion, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus introduced the church in Matthew 16 and then Matthew 18. And he says, here's how you organize your church. And here's what to do when someone's in trouble and in need discipline. And you take it to the church. You go to them personally. You take 2 people, 1 another person for the church. Then you take it in front of the church. Jesus instituted the church. He made it up. And he tells how it's supposed to be organized and what it's supposed to be like and how it's supposed to be. And if you think that you cannot follow Jesus' directions in the spiritual realm and it turned out to be spiritual, you're not thinking very clearly. Because Jesus has a way to do things and he has a church. He wrote the book of 1 Timothy, how to have a church. 2 Timothy, here's how a church is to be organized. 1 Corinthians, here's how to fix all the problems in the church. Titus, here's how a church is supposed to be. Revelation chapter 2 and 3, here's what he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says the churches. And so we see over and over the Lord says, this is the way a church is supposed to be. And this is what I'm teaching you about a church. And can I just tell you? It works. Now, we know it works because the Bible says it, but I just want to tell you, testimony and watching and experience and seeing it, those who participate in the church pattern that the Bible has laid out, it works for victory, for family, for strength, for reaching the world, for everything God has. It works, and it works great. And God gave us all these instructions. God's plan for the church is the church to complete us and make us a complete Christian. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 4. And read you some verses here out of Ephesians chapter 4. His plan is for the church to complete us. There's a lot I'm not going to teach in the church that we don't have time today, but the church is supposed to be an independent, autonomous is the word we'll use. It means a church that doesn't have any leadership, but it's an individual group that God leads. The Bible says Jesus is the head of the church. And so Open Door is not part of any denomination. We are an independent church. The head of this church is Christ. He tells me what to preach. He tells us what we're supposed to do. He guides us. He's the head of the church. The church is run by Christ because it's his. It's not any groups. The church isn't mine. The church isn't yours. It's his. What we want to do doesn't matter. It's what he wants us to do, and we follow him. But God's plan is for the church is to complete us. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God. Now I want you to notice just the tense of these. It's singular. He's going to refer to the church in the singular. Till we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the fullness of stature and of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. That's plural when it's tossed about by the sleight of men with cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him into all thing, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, singular, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. That's us. According to the effectual working of the member of the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body is to edify itself. Verse 12, the perfecting of the saints. God gave us this pattern of the church. And I want to say this. I know a good person who lives right near here, who's been to our church twice, and I like them. And they're really trying to do good things, and they're nice and they're Christian, but they just don't want to go to church. Now, they say that Jesus is the Lord of their life and Jesus is the most important thing in their life, and they want to help people like God, like them to help them. Nice person, I like him. But their life's so messed up. And the body would mature them and build them up and help them. Now, that person's within a couple stone throws of here, but you know what? They're scattered all around. Those people who, they aren't part of a body, and so they aren't experiencing that, the perfecting of the saints. And this person is very good at helping poor people. But outside of that realm, he's not perfected, which means completed and put together completely. When you get married, you'll find out your spouse will complete you and balance you out and make you mature and a well-rounded person. A good spouse will really help you to do that. And they add to you, and they help you to become complete. And that's a good thing. A church is that in the spiritual realm. Is that in the spiritual realm. It makes you complete. It adds all the parts to your body. It fills in the voids, and it does all those things. It completes us. Just things we've read already. When we're part of a church, it completes us. It perfects us. It gives us great joy. It establishes the doctrine. We have great grace upon us all, and it perfects the saints. That's what the local church will do for us. And but here's the thing. Well, I've been going to church sometimes and it's not happened. That's why I want to preach today. I want to teach you how to be a part of the church where it makes a difference, where you're really being matured and completed and fixed. Because I don't know about you, but I've needed some fixing in my life. I've had some things out of balance, some things that are lacking, some holes in my life that aren't fixed and complete. So how to make the most of your church relationship and your church experience. First of all, be extremely faithful to church. Be extremely faithful to church. Now, we already talked about that. We read the verses in Acts 2, 47. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible says, don't forsake assembling yourselves together. But it says that at the end, it says so much more as you see the day approaching. Can I just say, in 1940 or 1950, when America was a lot more innocent and pure, and your neighbors were pretty good people and tried to get you to do right, and kids didn't respect their parents, and the teachers in school led you in prayer, and most people went to church, you didn't have all this downward pressure. If you're in the river of life trying to be good, and up is toward God, and in this river down is toward the world, the flow is very slow to go towards immorality in the world and bad and sinful. I mean, if you watch television, you watch Leave It to Beaver. And that's not really, you know, Andy Griffith's not really teaching you how to do real bad things. Okay? Howdy Doody is not, you know, too satanic. Okay? So we're going. And depending on the age level there. These shows, the Waltons, you know, that's the 60s, I mean, I think. 70s, Little House on the Prairies. Yeah, there we go. Now you're talking about. You ready to me now? Okay. A-Team or 80s now. But listen, a lot of those things that were back in that river you're standing in culture, you weren't being swept down river. Can I tell you, if you stand in the culture of today, you're in rapids. You're in rapids drawing you away from God. I mean, it's on billboards. It's at the coffee stands. Okay? It is everywhere. And we're in this thing. And the Bible says as you get closer to the end, you need church so much the more. Well, in New Testament times, they went every day. I reckon we probably need a lot of church. I don't think you can make it today as a decent Christian one time a week. I just don't. I've never seen it happen. I don't think you can be a victorious, godly, conquering Christian one time church a week, because you're going to get junk all week long. You go through the supermarket line, junk. You just hear people talking at work, junk. Your neighbors, how many of your neighbors, you hear things you shouldn't hear from them? Okay? The music, the yelling, the fighting. You learn all kinds of new colorful words just from your neighbors. We need church so much more. Just be extremely faithful to church. Here, how do I do that, Pastor? This is the simplest thing. I'm going to tell you. How do you make it to every single service? Okay? It's really easy. You never decide if you're going to church. Never decide. I decided when I was 16, I go to church. I made one decision. So when it's time to go to church, I go to church. But what if... No, that's deciding. You know, you don't decide if you go to work if you're a good employee, you don't decide if you go to work. You got to go. And you go. You know, if you start thinking, should I go to work today? You know what starts happening? You start playing hooky. You know, if your kids decide every day for going to school, you know what happens? They're not real faithful to school, but people just go to school. And when you go to church, you don't decide if you're going to church. As a matter of fact, your relative calls and says, hey, I'm coming over. You say, awesome, you going to church with me then? And they say, well, no, I don't go to church. I was hoping you'd hang around with me and stuff. You say, I go to church on Sunday. It's not a decision. It's already decided. I just do it. I go to church all the time. What if the Seahawks are in the Super Bowl this year? And Sunday night, what are we going to do? Listen, that's hypothetical. That's not going to happen. I mean, what if, you know, a meteor hits the planet? You know, I mean, come on. I mean, if Seahawks win the World Series, I mean, what are you talking? That Jesus is coming back when that happens. And miracles of miracles. Now, we don't go and decide every Sunday if we're going to church. Matter of fact, I don't ask my kids if they want to go. Have I ever asked you guys, Tiffy, ever asked you if you want to go to church? Brookie, whatever your name is. Ever asked you if you want to go to church? No. Do you want to go to church? This is your chance. Do you want to go to church? Okay, do you want to go to church? Okay, good. Didn't matter what they said. They're going anyway. But, one of the stupidest things, I just don't believe you should force people to go to church. Oh, good. You do that with school, too, right? You do that with drugs to your kids, right? I don't think we should force them not to do drugs. I don't think we should force them to go to school. Stop. Okay? By the way, if you enjoy the Christian life and the victorious, that your kids will want to go to church. They want to go to church. And if you teach them how to be spiritual. But you know, listen, I want to tell you, just go. See, I go to church all the time. And there's people in this room who aren't healthy today. Some of you, it was a long trip from the car to get into this room. Okay? Some of you were involved in a football game this morning. Came to church. You know what? It's not easy for some people. But you go to church. And by the way, can I say this? If you ever can't come to church, I mean, whatever drastic, I'm talking, you're in the hospital, you're physically not able, you're handicapped, then tell the church and we'll bring you the CDs of the messages. You need to hear preaching. And let us know. Go to the internet and download the messages. But don't, listen, we want to visit you. We want to be with you. And you need to be in church. You need to be part of a body. Number two, first of all, be extremely faithful. Number two, become part of a body. Become part of a body. Right here in Ephesians 4, verse 13. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, under the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. A perfect man, singular. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. 1 Corinthians 12 says, you're the body of Christ and members in particular. And the Bible in 1 Corinthians 12 says, you're an eye or an ear or a nose or a mouth. We're all different part of a body. But the Bible talks about a church as a body. And it goes into great detail. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Let me read the verses here because I'm nearby. The Bible says a church becomes a body. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being member are one, are one body, so also is Christ. You're many members, you're one body. Verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Now, to understand the church relationship, the Bible illustrates the church as a body. Your body has a bunch of different parts, but it's all one. If your body parts aren't together, it's not good. If your body parts are going different directions, it's not good. It's supposed to be one. And the church, all of us together, we are one going somewhere. It is amazing how important each body part is. And it is amazing how important each one of us are to a local church to be part of that. First of all, we want you to use your gifts. There are things you're good at that I'm not. There are things that you're good at that somebody else isn't good at. All of us have our own gifts, and God puts you in this church with gifts to be a part of this church, to help with the church. You might be good at technical things. You might be good at showing compassion. You might be good at giving. You might be good at praying. You might be good at something, but you have a gift that's part of the church, and that body part is important. The eye can't do a whole lot of things, but that's okay. The eye is very important at seeing. The tongue is not that talented, but it's very important for talking. And you say, well, I'm not that good at many things, but there is something that God gave you a gift in to be a part of this church. And it could be driving. It could be praying. It could be cleaning. It could be 1,000 different things. But be part of a body. That means you got to join the church and become a part of this church. A body part is not good if it's part of many bodies. You can do a transplant, but you know what? If you just keep transferring it back and forth, it's not good. You need to pick a body to be part of, and you need to do that. There's several things we see that happen here. First of all, that they did is you use your gifts. Secondly, you suffer and rejoice together. You suffer and rejoice together. We'll get that a little bit later. Next, join the church. Make it your church. And what are requirements for joining the Open Door Baptist Church? Two. One, you're saved. Two, you're baptized. Baptized after you're saved by immersion, the biblical way. If you're saved and baptized and you want to join the church, join it. Just let me know that, and it's not complicated. And then pick a body to be a part of. well, you know what? I just go from church to church and do all these things. I tell somebody, even if they're going to go to another church, I tell them, pick a church and be part of it. Pick a church and be part of it. Why? Because a body part by itself doesn't do well. This finger is a fine finger. That's my frostbitten finger. This finger here is a fine finger. But you know what? If it's not connected to a body, it's not going to do well. If you aren't connected to a church that you say, and by the way, don't talk to me and say, Pastor, your church is awesome. Say, our church is awesome, because it's not my church. It is no more mine than it is yours. I'm just a body part. I'm just the one who preaches the Bible. I've been given a call of God to lead, and we started the church. However, every body part's important. I'm not important like you are. Every part of a body is important. You will find out that every part of your body does something, and when it gets injured, you'll find out that it does a bunch of things. I got hit in the temple one here one time, right here inside of my head by the temple here one time. I wouldn't even think there's a muscle there, but you know what? When that thing got messed up, every bite I took, every word I said, I couldn't believe how much pain I was in all the time with that stupid thing. Every part of your body is important. Have one disc slip. That disc's about as big as a quarter. You'll find out that disc's pretty important. Lose your big toe. You find out the big toe matters. Where's Michael? Michael, there you are. Michael preached a nursing home this morning. You found out an eyelash is important. He had an infection in his eyelash and drove him crazy every time he blinked. You know, every part of your body is important. You get one toenail smashed. You'll find out that thing matters since it goes throughout the whole body. If this is your church, when you're not here, when you're hurting, when you're not participating, the body feels it. And everybody is part of that. And I'm not saying you got 105 degree temperature and don't get us all sick, okay? If you have 105 degree temperature, just go right outside the door there and listen. You know what? When you can come and you're not there, we're missing out because part of the body's not there and you're missing out. Become part of a body. Next, we said, number one, be extremely faithful to the church. Number two, become a part of the body. Number three, help and be helped. This is the important part of church a lot of people miss out on. James, James chapter 5. I'm going to read you some verses here because you're supposed to help and be helped. We have financial needs in this room this morning of people that have talked to me this morning. We always have somebody with financial needs. Always. Why? Well, biggest thing is we reach out to the poor. That's why we have biggest financial needs. Number two, humans go through cycles of financial blessing and financial hardships. And somebody who was doing good a year ago might not be doing good right now. And we always have those things. Help and be helped. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me give you some things about help and be helped. You ready? Two parts to this. One, you need to help other people. Everybody likes to do that. Two, you need other people to help you. Most of us don't like that. A lot of us don't. There are people who like people to help them. I mean, their handshake is this direction, not this direction. I understand that. A lot of people aren't good at getting help. They struggle alone. And the Bible says don't do that. It says right here, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. First of all, confess your faults to somebody. Do not stay forever where you feel like nobody understands and you can't conquer this thing. Confess them. We've talked about this in a sermon lately, but not on Sunday morning. I want to say, find a friend in church and go to them and say, I have a fault. It doesn't say confess your sins one to another. It says confess your faults. There's a big difference between a sin and a fault. You might have done some bad things and said a bunch of bad words yesterday because you lost your temper. You don't have to say, here's what I said, okay? You don't have to do that. But you can say, you know what? I have a problem with my temper. Can you pray for me? And God is going to give you someone in the church for you to confess your faults to. We don't need to do it in front of the church. Okay? Anybody here want to come up here and tell us your faults? Okay. Are you raise your hand? You got to do it now. And but he's joking. We don't have time for his faults. And but you know what? You know why none of you raise your hand? That's why God doesn't say you have to do it in front of the church. Because you don't need to confess your faults in front of the church. But you know what? One to another. That's individually. Find somebody in church that you trust, that you like, that God's in your heart to, and say, I'm really struggling. I'm really depressed. Or I have this fault. I really, you know, have this lust problem. Or you know what? I'm really struggling. I need you to pray for me. I have this problem with, you know, with money, and I love money. Or whatever it is, you confess your faults one to another. And then you pray for each other. You pray for each other, and you do that. If somebody confessed their faults to you, you'd probably pray for them. But you know what? We don't pray for each other very much because we haven't gone to each other for help. And it might be me you go to or whoever. And I know you say I don't like telling people my things and stuff like that. But how long have you been struggling with that? How long are you going to sit there and feel like nobody understands, you're all alone? You know what? The funniest thing is some of the time, the person you'll go to, you won't even know it, but they're struggling with the same thing. And God knits your heart to them so you could pray for each other in the same thing and keep each other accountable in the same area. Drinking, drugs, whatever it is, can be a thousand different things. And you confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. So that's what it says. First, confess your faults. Second, pray for each other. I think in the Bible of this, illustrations of this, there's many illustrations. Jesus came to Peter and Peter says, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter was going to fall, and he's about to be thrashed by Satan, and Jesus knew it. And so Jesus began to pray for him. Can I say this? If you're sensitive to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will put people in your mind sometimes to pray for. All of a sudden, someone will come to your mind, and you'll start praying for them, and you won't even know why. Why? Because the Holy Spirit says, I need someone to pray for them right now. And Jesus knew that ahead of time, and so he put them on your mind, and you don't even need to know what it is. You just need to pray for them. But Jesus did that for Peter, and then Peter preach Pentecost. By the way, Peter fell not long after that. Cursed and denied Jesus, yet he went and preached Pentecost because somebody prayed for him. Let's look at the church doing the praying here. Acts chapter 12. And I want to change the way we do things a little bit as far as people. Acts chapter 12. One of the apostles gets killed in verse 2. And he killed James, the brother of John, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, verse 3, he took Peter. Now, here's Peter, the leader. He's the pastor of the church. Peter gets put in jail, and he's locked up in jail, and the church begins to pray for Peter. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, and that Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Boy, what an important thing. I truly, biblically, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, first of all, Timothy, in church, pray for kings and for all that are in authority. I think we're supposed to pray for our leaders. I hope you pray for President Obama and Senator Maureen Cantwell and Governor Gregoire and our representatives in the area, and Adam Smith is one, and Reichert's the other for our area around here. I hope you pray for your leaders. And if you don't pray for them, don't criticize them. Because they might not be doing well because you aren't praying for them. Because biblically, the Bible says you're supposed to pray for your leaders. I didn't say I'd agree with them. I don't agree with all of them. I think the whole bunch of them need to send out and learn how to balance a checkbook, personally. Let me go in there. I'll balance a budget in a year, and everybody will hate me. But I need to pray for them. And a lot of fellowship is disappointed leadership, and I agree. Our leadership in many areas is not very good. You know why? Because fellowship is criticizing, not praying. They're looking for them to stumble and fall and noticing everything they do wrong instead of praying for them. You know why I think parents don't do as good as they should? Because kids aren't praying for them. You know why the wife thinks her husband's such a dope? Because she's not praying for him. You know why why we think our government's so bad. Probably not praying for it. And you know why we're so disappointed with pastors and religious leaders? How much pray for me? That's not like you're all disappointed in me. Do you love me? I don't know if you're disappointed in me or not. You're not, are you? Shake your head. Okay, good. And I'm kind of insecure up here. And but you know what? Can I tell you this? I need your prayers. I'm made out of flesh and blood. You know Satan's after me like he's after you. I know you think, oh, pastor, if Satan ever attacked you like he attacked me, you'd be in big trouble. Trust me. He didn't forget me. He's after my family. My family isn't good because I don't get attacked by Satan. Okay? My children, all of them are flesh and blood. We need prayer. Your husband, your dad, your mom, your leaders, your nation, your boss. Oh, pastor, that you got too far now. You want to pray for my boss? I'll pray God kills him. That's all I'm going to pray for him. No, listen. Listen, that's why you feel that way. That's probably why he's a bad boss. God either gave you that boss to teach you patience, or you have been praying for him, and that's why they're so messed up. You're supposed to pray. And this church, Peter's in prison, the whole church got together in nonstop, all-night prayer meeting for him. And we need to pray for our leaders. And certainly they come under attack, and we see that. We see praying for one another. We see Jesus praying and the church praying for the leaders, and the leaders praying for the church. It's all a team effort. They're all praying for each other. They're all on the same team, and prayer makes a difference. Next, comfort one another. Comfort one another. How many of you have had something that was hard on you, something that was depressing, something that was sad in your life in the last 7 days? Raise your hand. That's it? That's a good week right there. Okay? I don't know. I don't know if I go ever a week without something depressing or sad or seeing. Somebody I know, somebody I love having a heartache, somebody brokenhearted, some bad news, some tragedy we hear of. Listen, there's a lot of hard things out there, and you you need comfort. And the Bible says, exhorting one another and so much and more. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord. So go meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's a lot of bad news out there, but there's a lot of good news. You know, someone got saved yesterday. You know, Jesus is coming back someday. You know, the Bible is still the word of God, and God's going to supply our needs. I'm still saved. There's a lot of good news. Comfort one another. Hey, this world's messed up, but Jesus is coming back. Comfort one another. Hey, there's a lot of bad things happening, but guess what? The news is stupid. They never say, hey, guess what? Everything's going great for some people. That's not what the news is. You know, there's a massive worldwide harvest going on around the world right now, Christianity. The world's getting saved. Greatest harvest in the history of the world right now. You wouldn't know that. I mean, Africa and Southeast Asia and all over South America. I mean, there's a harvest going on right now. Now, in America, we're in a war. But the rest of the world, except for Europe, it's going on. It's going on. You know what? All we hear is bad news. Comfort one another. With the good things that are happening, the blessings we can have, and you can do it, and God can do it, and you can do all things that Christ has strengthened with you. Comfort one another. Next, give. Give. Acts 2 and 4. They sold what they had. They gave it to the church. By the way, biblically, the way they did it, they brought it to the church, and the church distributed it. And I say this every once in a while, and I want to make sure I say it occasionally because you need to know this. That's the biblical pattern, and it's very wise. Please ask me before you give to anybody in the church. I know you want to help people, but the biblical pattern was they took you to the church. Why? Because there's a bunch of people in the church that I'm helping, that I know their issues, and they shouldn't have you give them money. And they're struggling, and maybe they'll get victory. But you know what? I might tell you how to help them. You know what? And maybe you should just not pay cash. And maybe you should do this. I might ask you to help somebody, go help them. But please, let the church figure it out, because I know what's going on. Most people are very honest with me. People tell me about their issues and their addictions and stuff like that. And by the way, in this room right now, we have several people with addictions. Okay? We always do. You don't know addiction people. They don't look like addiction people all the time. Okay, I know about it. People tell me, they're very honest with me. Let the church distribute it. Give it to the church. And by the way, if you gave to the church, you know, you fed orphans. You know, you bought tracts. Did you know you helped see souls saved? Did you know you paid for things that mattered in eternity? So you get to give to eternity. When you give to a local church, it's winning souls and helping people. And give sacrificially. They sold their extra lands, the things they didn't need. They sold it and they gave it to the church. Why? Because you'd burn it up on something useless anyway. Best investment for your money, and I'm not against investing, but a best investment is in eternity. It is. And give, and just give to the local church. The Bible pattern is giving to the local church. And I'm not against parachurch organizations out there. There's nice charities, and the Red Cross is nice, and they do good things. I'm saying that. That's fine. But I want to say the tithe goes to the local church, and the best investment is things you're going to invest in souls. And those are better investments. And because they're not when we feed somebody, we're also going to give them the gospel. And it's a different, I'm not against you giving to a charity. Please don't think everything you give has to go to here. I just think the biblical pattern is they gave to the church. The church helped the people. And it's the best biblical pattern. And I think that's the best way to do it. But your tithe, certainly, the Bible says, goes to the local church. Next, we said, be extremely faithful to the church. Become part of a body. Help and be helped. And please let the church help you. If you're in the hospital, call. Let us visit you in the hospital. If you are heartbroken or worried or stressed out, call. Let us pray for you. If you don't know what to do, get some counsel. Let the church help you. Find somebody in church to pray for you. If you can't take care of your yard, call us. Listen, I have people all the time ask me for money. I like to make them work for it. So I'll send someone by your house and let them just... Let the church help you, and you help the church. That's the best way to be a part of it. Next, be part of reaching the world. The Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That Great Commission was given to the local church. It was fulfilled by the local church. If you read the book of Acts, the entire thing is the local church is going out there and winning people to Christ. It was reached through churches being planted, and be part of the Great Commission. Listen, how are you participating in reaching the world? I mean, you can give to it. You can go on a mission trip. You can pray for our missionaries. You can go and go witnessing here. You can go take a tract off the table and give it to somebody. But this church is about reaching souls. We're about winning souls to Christ and baptizing and discipling those converts. Participate that. I want everybody in this room to be a part of doing that. It's all of our jobs, not just mine or just a few good soul winners. And last of all, How can you get the most out of your church experience? Be saved so you can be part of the church. Because the Bible says we're all baptized into one body. Can I tell you, part of being part of the church is being saved. The Lord added in the church daily such as should be saved. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, the first part of being part of this great thing that God designed called a local church, the first part is you coming to Jesus as your Savior. He wants to save you today. Jesus died to give you eternal life. A church can't do it. A religion can't do it. It can't save you. But you can become part of the church by being saved. And if you don't know heaven's your home, today's your day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. There's one way to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So be saved today. And in a moment, we'll have an invitation. Just come tell me. I don't know I'm going to heaven. Can you show me how? And we will have someone take you aside and show you out of the Bible how to know you're going to heaven, and you can be saved today. And if you're saved today, participate. Bury yourself. Become a part of a body. Be part of your local church. We need you. And you need us. We're all together in this thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the local church, Lord. It's a lot of scripture to get through today. It's your pattern. It's your way. I pray today that we would do what you say and follow your Bible pattern, Lord. Everything we said today was what you said that we should do. I pray whether it's giving, whether it's praying for somebody, whether it's confessing our faults, whether it's being part of the Great Commission, whether it's being saved. Lord, whatever part you want us to participate in church, being faithful and coming to services faithfully, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to really be a part of a body. Lord, the local church is important. You've ordained it. It's your tool for reaching the world, for maturing believers. Help us to let that process happen. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Christian, today, how's your relationship with your church? Are you being faithful? Are you giving? Are you praying? Are you being helped? Are you letting the church help you? Are you using your gifts in the church? Are you suffering with those who suffer and weeping with those who weep and rejoicing? Are you just there for yourself? Or are you looking for other people to be a blessing to? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You know what? I love church. I go, but you know what? I'm not making the most out of my church experience. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But I'm not really making the most. I'm not participating. Whether it's you helping others, elders helping you, you giving, you praying, whether it's you being faithful, I'm not going as much as I should. Maybe you're just a spectator and need to start participating. But you'd say today, God spoke to me about being better, being more of a, making more of my church experience and being more of a participant. That's me. Will you pray for me? Will you slip your hand up right now? That's me, Pastor. I'm maybe not faithful or giving or praying or I'm just kind of going. That's me. Lots and lots of hands. You can put your hands down. That's majority of hands, and that's why God had us preach that. You can put your hands down. Maybe today you don't know you're saved. You don't know if you're going to heaven. We are not going to twist your arm to come. We are not going to try to. You got to want to be saved. Your sin separated you from God, just like all of our sins separated us from God. And Jesus wants to wash that sin away. He died for you. He was buried and rose again the third day. If you'd like to be saved, we'd love to show you how. And what we'll do is we'll just have someone take you the Bible and take you into back in the back room and just show you out of the Bible real simply how to be saved. So anybody today, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm not going to embarrass you. But you'd like me to pray for you that you would know you're saved. You'd never received Jesus, but you'd like to know you're saved. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know. I'm going to heaven. I don't know that. Pray for me. I don't know I'm saved today, but I'd like to know. I've never received Jesus Christ, and that's me. I don't know I'm saved today. All right, in just a sec, we're going to pray, and we're going to have an invitation. And Christian, if you raise your hand, if you need to tell God, Lord, I need to give or participate or pray or go confess my faults, or I need to go and encourage somebody else, or I need to participate in my church. I need to be more faithful. Whatever it is, we want you to come as we sing. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.